Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
There's a certain kind of darkness that doesn't just fall when the sun goes down. It seeps in slowly through cracked windows, under weathered door frames, and into the quiet spaces of a home that's seen too much. It's the kind of darkness you can't explain to anyone who hasn't felt it. A silence so heavy it begins to sound like a voice. A shadow so persistent, you start to wonder if it's not just following you, but waiting for you. Tonight we hear from Marie, who thought she understood fear, a woman drawn to storms and the comforting gloom they bring. But what Marie experienced in her own home during one relentless night of rain shattered the boundary between her waking life and the nightmares she'd left behind long ago. As you'll hear in her own words, Marie's story isn't filled with flashing lights or levitating furniture. This is something quieter, something that begins with a flicker in the corner of her eye and ends with a presence so familiar it makes her question if the haunting came from the house. Or from within herself. Let's get to the letter they write. Not sure where to begin with this, so I guess I'll just start with the weather, because somehow that feels important. Saturday, June 18th. The kind of day that couldn't make up its mind. Dark skies, bursts of sunlight, then back to rain so heavy it sounded like static against the windows. I love storms, always have. There's something about rain hitting the glass, the growl of thunder rolling in from nowhere. It's comforting in a strange way, like the world closing in, but in a way that feels safe. That night, it didn't feel safe. My brother came over around 6. It was one of those easy, familiar nights we've had 100 times before. Me, my partner, my brother, all piled onto the couch watching movies, the storm doing its thing outside. Nothing unusual, nothing eerie, just the three of us watching Kung Fu Panda 2 and making fun of each other's snack choices, but something kept pulling my attention away from the screen. At first, I thought it was the trees outside, swaying in the wind, casting shadows across the walls, but these weren't tree-shaped shadows. They were off. The wrong size, the wrong movement. They would appear, then vanish when I tried to focus. Just a trick of the light, I told myself. Too many late nights and too much caffeine. My brother left a little after midnight. My partner wanted to stay up and zone out to whatever was on TV, so I headed to bed alone. I did the usual, closed most of the windows, left one cracked in the living room so the house didn't feel too stuffy. Got my partner a pillow, left the lamp on for him, gave him a kiss goodnight, and walked down the hall. I turned off the hallway light on my way, which I always do. Everything felt perfectly normal until I laid down. I can't explain it, Tony, but something about the bed felt wrong that night. Like the sheets weren't mine. Like the air had a weight to it that didn't belong there. I tossed and turned more than usual. The storm still going outside, but it wasn't the rain keeping me up. I couldn't get comfortable, couldn't settle. Eventually, I rolled onto my side, back to the wall, facing the door. That's when I first heard it. This low, steady buzzing. It wasn't loud, more like an electrical hum coming from somewhere inside the house. At first, I figured it was something stupid, like the fridge working overtime or a phone charger acting up. I got up, wandered into the kitchen, opened the fridge for no real reason, then fiddled with the temperature dial just to feel like I did something. The buzzing didn't stop. I didn't care. I was too tired to play detective over some weird noise, so I went back to bed, half laughing at myself for being so easily rattled. But the moment I shut my eyes, the sound shifted. It was still there, but quieter now, like it was backing off, making room for something else. This soft, dragging noise, like someone slowly pulling themselves across the carpet. Not footsteps, not the creak of old floorboards. Something lower to the ground, something I couldn't place. I didn't want to look. You know that feeling, Tony? That bone-deep certainty that if you open your eyes, you're going to see something you can't handle? That was me. But I looked anyway. The door was open just a few inches. I'd left it that way. But there was something standing in the doorway. Pale, vaguely human-shaped. No face, no features, just a smear of white that twisted at the edges like smoke caught in a draft. It stood there for maybe 2 seconds. Long enough for me to blink, and then it was gone. I blinked again, convinced I was still half asleep, that my mind was turning shadows into shapes. The way it does when you're caught between dreaming and waking. Except I was awake, wide awake. My heart was hammering so hard, I could feel it in my throat. I pulled the blanket up to my chin like I was a kid again, as if that could protect me from whatever I thought I saw. The storm outside had quieted down by then, the rain softer, almost polite. But inside the house, the quiet felt unnatural, too thick, too still. I tried to ground myself, listening for the TV in the living room. My partner had the volume down low, some forgettable show playing in the background. It should have felt comforting, that soft noise spilling down the hall, but instead, it made everything worse. Because whatever was in the hallway, whatever I'd just seen, was standing right between me and that sound. I closed my eyes and tried to breathe, focused on the hum of the fridge, the flicker of the TV, the sound of my own heartbeat slowing down. That's when I felt it. The air shifting against my face, like someone exhaled right on me. I shot up, my eyes darting around the room, but there was no one there. My door was still half open, the hallway lit by that warm glow from the lamp I left on for my partner. But then it happened again. A breath cooler this time, brushing across my cheek. That's when I realized the hallway wasn't lit anymore. The lamp was off, the TV was off, the entire house was dark. I don't know how long I sat there, heart pounding, too scared to move. Maybe minutes, maybe hours. Eventually, I must have laid back down, but I didn't sleep, not really. I just lay there waiting for whatever came next, and it came, but not how I expected. Because when I finally did close my eyes, I wasn't alone. Something was standing over me, inches from my face. I couldn't see it, but I could feel it. This thick, oily presence pressing into my skin without touching me. It leaned closer until I swear I could feel its shape pressing into me. Arms wrapping around me, cold breath filling my lungs. Not choking me, not holding me down, just clinging. Like it knew me. I knew it too, Tony. I knew it from years ago, from my childhood. From a bedroom 2 houses ago where something dark stood at the foot of my bed every night for a year. I thought I'd left it behind. I thought it was just sleep paralysis, but it wasn't. I don't remember how long I laid there, Tony. Could have been seconds, could have been hours. Time didn't work right in that moment. I could still feel it, whatever it was, wrapped around me. Not squeezing or hurting, just there. Like it had settled into my skin. And the fear it left behind wasn't my own. That's the part I can't explain. It felt like someone else's terror had been poured into me. Like my heart was beating for two people at once, one pulse mine, the other belonging to something much older. Eventually, I must have fallen asleep or passed out because, and the next thing I knew, sunlight was sneaking in through the window. But even in the daylight, the house felt wrong. The air had weight, like something invisible was pressing down on the walls, and the buzzing, it was still there, softer now but constant, a low hum that seemed to vibrate under my skin. That whole day was a blur. I went through the motions, coffee, phone scrolling, pretending everything was normal. My partner didn't notice anything off. Why would he? The house looked the same, but to me, the edges were sharper. The shadows were thicker. It felt like the house was holding its breath, waiting. That night, I left every light on, every damn one. Lamps, overheads, even the bathroom light. I couldn't bring myself to sleep in the dark, and for a while, that worked. The shadows stayed put, no breath on my face, but I still couldn't sleep. Every time I closed my eyes, I felt it, a whisper of movement in the room, like something shifting just out of reach. My nerves were shot. Every noise set me off. A door creak, I jumped. The fridge clicking on nearly screamed. My own reflection caught in the window. I swear it smiled at me. By the third night, the fear had turned into something else, anger. I wanted my house back. I wanted my life back. I'm not the type to scare easy, Tony. I've always been the one watching horror movies alone, chasing storms, walking through dark woods just to feel something. But this wasn't something you could chase. It was inside the house, inside me. I don't know what possessed me to talk to it. Maybe exhaustion, maybe madness. But I stood in the middle of the living room at 3:14 in the morning and said out loud, "What do you want?" And the lights went out. All of them. The silence that followed wasn't real silence. It was full, like static waiting to become a voice. And then from the hallway, I heard footsteps, slow, deliberate, coming toward me, and I didn't move, couldn't. I just stood there, breathing too loud, heart hammering so hard I could hear it in my ears. The footsteps stopped at the threshold between the hall and the living room. I couldn't see anything at first, just darkness pressing against darkness, but then the shape appeared. Not smoky this time, solid. A figure. It stood just inside the room, facing me. And even though it didn't have a face, I knew it was looking right at me. It wasn't a stranger. That's the part that broke me. The shape, the height, the way it stood. It was the same thing I saw every night when I was 8 years old. The same thing that stood at the foot of my bed in that old house back when I thought nightmares could follow you into real life. And I realized they can. It didn't move toward me, didn't speak, it just stood there, watching. And after what felt like a lifetime, it did something I still can't make sense of. It turned and walked away. Back down the hall, back into the shadows, leaving me standing there, shaking and sobbing, and completely alone. I didn't sleep again after that. Not really. I started hearing the buzzing everywhere, at work, in the car, even outside. Like it had sunk into my bones. The house stayed quiet for the most part. No more footsteps, no more breaths on my face, but the air never felt clean again. It's like whatever it was didn't leave, it just stepped back into the walls to wait. I wish I could end this by saying I moved out and everything got better, but we're still here. My partner doesn't feel any of it. He sleeps fine, goes about life like nothing happened. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's always been me, but I can't shake the feeling that the house let me see it for a reason, that it wanted me to remember. And the worst part, Tony, sometimes in the middle of the night, I catch myself leaving the bedroom door open, just a crack, like I'm inviting it back in. Marie's story forces us to ask a difficult question. When does a haunting begin? Is it tied to a place, a moment in time, or something much harder to escape? Ourselves. There's a psychological theory called latent fear imprinting, a phenomenon where childhood trauma, especially trauma tied to night terrors or sleep paralysis, leaves a kind of scar on the mind. Years later, all it takes is the right trigger, stress, lack of sleep, even something as simple as a storm, to peel back the layers and let those old fears crawl to the surface. By that logic, what Marie saw, what she felt, could have been a deeply buried memory bursting free, drenching the present in the fear of her own past. But that explanation only works if you believe all hauntings come from within. And if that's true, how do we explain the buzzing, the doors opening themselves, the breath on her face, and how do you explain the figure, the same shape, the same presence that followed her from childhood into adulthood, across houses, across years? That's the part that lingers with me, the part that keeps me staring into my own dark hallway a little longer than I should. What if the thing watching Marie didn't live in the house at all? What if it lived in her, attached not to a place but to her fear itself, feeding on it, growing with her, waiting for the right moment to show itself again? And maybe that's the real horror here. Some ghosts don't need old houses or tragic deaths to exist. Some of them only need us, and they never really leave. Because if Marie's story teaches us anything, it's this. Whatever's waiting in the dark doesn't need an invitation to come back. Sometimes it was never gone in the first place.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.